It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Let me bang.
Greetings, nerds and virgins.
Go for Jesus! No, for gay Jesus, people!
And I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Action. What's up, people? Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. I'm here with the legend Don Fry, waiting for McCorkle. Don, every time somebody sends me a video of you, it's the most badass thing I've ever seen in my entire life. You say the funniest shit I've ever heard in my life. You're like a walking, like, 80s sitcom western.
Do they have one of those?
They don't. They should have. It's just one thing after another. Like, I actually laugh to myself sometimes. Like, I remember talking about this fighter that was like, he was in college and he did gay porn. And he's like, yeah, you know, he did gay porn to pay for college. And you go, I went to college. I never did gay porn. Like just the things you say. And you're like, I'm like, what do you think of that one fighter? He was sneaky, like the Chinese. Like, Chinese had nothing to do with this fight.
You can't trust them, though. You can't fucking trust the Chinese.
Not all Chinese. I met plenty of Chinese people you can trust, Don. But man, you are one of a kind.
Name four.
Name four. I'd have to go back.
There's Duck Hung Lo and Yung Sung Dick and Lee Lee Song.
We're off to a great start. Here I am trying to tell you how funny you are. But I mean, you're goddamn, you're funny, man. Like, does your mind just work that way where you just like think of what's the funniest thing that I could say, or you just have zero filter?
I just have zero filter. You know, I'm at that age, I don't give a fuck anymore, you know.
Were you always like
this? I was polite, you know, one point in my life. You know, shit. But, you know, I've done everything you can do on this planet, you know. Played cowboy, played fireman, played, you know, world champion fighter, you know. Played actor, played stuntman. Fucking hey, shit. I could die at any time and be cool with it. I don't care.
Well, we wouldn't be cool there. And I was thinking, like, you know, people always say, you know, give the guy his flowers when he's alive, you know, and yada, yada, yada. But like, yeah. I don't ever want to, you know, obviously don't ever want to see you die or whatever. That would be awful. I'd be beyond depressed. But I think that, like,
ruin my day too, yeah.
I think people don't appreciate you as much as they should while you're alive, because you're like one of the last. Like, I mean, you say some of the funniest shit I've ever heard in my life. Meanwhile, so I just got off. I'm waiting for McCorkle to come. Did you watch the fights last week?
No, I did not. Did I miss anything?
Well, I sent you that clip of Bryce Mitchell.
That was funny.
I mean, he's like, he's next level. He shows up with a Bible in his hand, holding it up, yelling out Braveheart. This is before the fight even starts. And then after he wins this fight, hey, Violet, how's it going? Yeah.
Hi, Violet.
You want some
chocolate or ice cream?
Ice cream or chocolate? But why did you wait for Daddy to start the show and then you bought it? You had the whole morning to ask me for this, and then right when it starts is when you want it. All right, say hi to Don, though. You gotta say hi to Don.
Hi, Violet. How you doing, darling? Violet, aren't you a pretty little girl?
She's allegedly sick. I know, but you said this morning you were coughing a lot, so we kept you. I know, we kept you home from school to not get the other kids.
Well, ice cream's good for a cough.
Yeah, right. Ice cream is not good for a cough. All right, let's go downstairs. Come on.
Soothes the throat.
All right. I know. Okay, you jump on Daddy's back. Okay, thank you. So this is Don has two little girls. You know that? Yeah, he's got two daughters. One of them got married. Right?
No, fuck no. I'm sorry. No. Not that I know of. Not that I know of.
How old are they?
They're 20 and 20. They're 2000 and 2001 model. So, what are they? 22
and
23.
Were growing up, were the boys like that they brought home, were they like scared of you?
You know, they only brought one boy home, and they didn't know anything about me. Tell them. My youngest daughter's boyfriend didn't know anything about me. You know, they've been dating for a couple of years, and he didn't know anything until about 7 months ago.
You know? Oh, wow. And then what happened when he found out about you?
Well, I haven't seen him since. he's real polite. He's a really polite to me. Yeah. But most everybody is. Yeah.
But your daughters took care of you, right? When you're sick?
No. Well, they did one time. Which time are you talking about?
The last time.
Last time, I think so.
Yeah, because I know that you were saying that the ex-wife was kind of putting a divide between you guys, but then they were taking care of you. So that must have felt good.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, they come by, you know, check my pulse, you know, put a mirror in front of my nose, see if I was breathing.
Oh, God. Now, after you fought, now, did your kids ever come to your fights or no?
No, one time, but they were, it was when I fought, I think a Heroes fight or might have been a Heroes fight or something else, a smaller fight after Pride, you know. And they sat backstage with my Japanese movie agent. She sat backstage with them, you know, and they didn't know what them, because they were real young. They were real young.
Were you nervous, though, because you didn't want to get hurt in front of them?
No, like I said, they were backstage. They didn't know what the fuck was going on. You know, they just thought Dad was exercising. Come back all sweaty and nasty.
And now McCorkle finally came on. I'm waiting for you to tell these stories because I don't want to tell the story and then have you not there. But we're talking about Don's kids coming to his fights. They came to one fight of his. Did your son and daughter ever come to your fight, Sean?
Yeah, my son actually, he came to my first fight against Mark Hunt. That was the only one he went to because it was, is my audio okay, by the way?
Yeah, you're great.
It was, I have a real expensive microphone I bought just for this podcast, and it doesn't work worth a shit. So I paid $200 for this microphone, and it doesn't work. It's the worst. Anyway, so.
Chinese.
probably. But he... So he goes to my fight against Mark Hunt, and I had to kind of explain to him that there was a high likelihood I would be getting my ass kicked, but it was going to be okay, you know what I mean, or whatever. Like, you know, I told him, you know, like, hey, you know, I'll be fine even if I lose, you know, or whatever. So when, you know, I come out, and of course he's got real good seats and everything, and to him it's like a WWE event, you know, like he's, you know, all excited. So I get out there, I win real quick. After, I try to sneak out to go see him, like Adam just snuck out of this podcast. I try to sneak out to go see him, but unfortunately I'm gigantic and handsome and people recognize me, and it's in my hometown. So as I'm trying to go up through the crowd, which they wouldn't let me in the venue, I had to lie and sneak and say I had a ticket I was going to get, because if you don't buy a ticket to the UFC event, you're not allowed in the arena. Can you believe that? Like, even if you fought, you're not allowed to go in the arena unless you also buy a ticket. So I told him, I said, oh, no, my girlfriend has my ticket. I got to go get it. I'll bring it back to you, to one of the ushers. And he was like, oh, okay. And so then I just never came back.
before the invention of cell phones. Huh?
Yeah, exactly. So I go walking up, and as I get up toward my son, like, everybody starts recognizing me. And then I start getting mobbed in the crowd by every drunk person who knows me from Indianapolis or claims to know me. So it's getting like almost like a riot scene. It's getting kind of like awkward for him, like uncomfortable, because, you know, I got like drunk people jumping, taking pictures with me, everything. And so I picked him up. I said, well, bud, I said, what'd you think? He goes, man, Dad, I was so nervous when he took you down at first, you know? And I said, oh, I was going to be okay either way, little dude. He's only like 8 at the time. And he goes, no, like, I was afraid you were going to get beat up in front of all these people. He said, that would be the worst. He goes, like, if my dad got beat up in front of 20,000 people, he goes, I wouldn't even like be here. He goes, I wanted to leave if you lost before you came out. And I was like, he was dead serious. He said he wanted to leave. He would have left the venue with my friend he was with if I had lost, because he didn't want to be with his dad if he got beat up in front of 20,000 people. So I was like, thanks. That's awesome that you thought that.
How come you didn't use the bionic elbow, Dad?
yeah. Why didn't you? That's what's so awesome is, like, everybody before was telling me, no, you can do it, this and that. And so I go up and I talk to my dad, who always hated me fighting. He didn't want me to play football. He's afraid I was going to get CTE or ruin my back and be in hell forever, like what happened. But my dad was like, son, I got to be honest with you. He goes, I thought you didn't have a chance. Like, my dad tells me that in the crowd after the fight. He goes, I was like, thanks, Dad. He goes, no, everybody else did too. Like, everybody thought you were going to lose. Then I find out a friend I've had since I was a kid, like literally since we were little kids, had bet $5,000 against me to people in the crowd. He was taking all bets against me, supposedly one of my friends. So he ended up losing his $5,000. You know, he was given 5-1 odds betting against me. So yeah, it was an odd night. But yeah, that's the long answer to your question.
You know what though? I do think about that. Like, I think about like Tyron Woodley's kids or Ben Askren kids, like when Jake Paul knocked him out.
Yeah.
Because all the kids know Jake Paul. It's not like he lost over in like Ryzen or something, or
right.
So all the kids know that. And I just wonder, like, what they tell their kids. I mean, you know, they're good parents and yada, yada. And they tell them, listen, it's just a sport. And they've seen them win. You got to win. You got to lose. Probably a really good lesson for them to learn. But I wonder what happens if other kids, like, making fun of them. Or, hey, your dad got knocked out by Jake Paul. Like, how do they handle that? Like,
you know, it was funny. I talked to Chris Lytle, other than Don Fry, one of the toughest people I've ever met in my life. A lot of people don't know that. That dude, Chris Lytle, is ballsy, man. He would spar with heavyweights boxing, like he'd spar with Tim Sylvia, like full force, 100%. He was a 170-pound fighter, just tough, man. But I asked him, like an idiot, after I lost, I texted him. I said, hey, man, what do you tell your kids? Like, I more or less said, you've lost a bunch. What do you tell your kids when you lose? Like, it's kind of how it came out. I didn't mean to, but I told him, I was like, what do you tell your kids when you lose? I said, because I never lost before. And my son just kept saying, I just don't understand how someone could beat you in a fight. And I was like, well, you know, even the fastest person in the world can't necessarily win every race. He's like, yes, he could. And I'm like, because everything's black and white with kids. Or it's black and white with Don too, but no.
That's funny. Dude, that's like when I wrote a sketch last year for the award show. We were like at last minute, like everyone kept bailing out, and I tried to get that guy. What's his name? The guy that breakdances, Chris. The guy that you know, the big black dude who like.
Oh yeah, Chris Barnett.
I tried to get him to be Lizzo, and at like last minute he ghosted me. So I'm like, hey DC, anyway you could be Lizzo.
Like DC, it wasn't humiliating enough that you were eating church's chicken last.
Yeah. Anyway, dude, I think I got like I got those dots, and then like a no response. Like he was ready to say something. Like I could see the dots were coming up, where like someone's about to text you. But anyway, so meanwhile, I've had a crazy. So I had I did this cruise ship last week. We had for some reason, now they're making the shows at 3:30. 3:30 for the PG shows, because everyone wants to watch comedy at 3:30, right? It was actually like packed, sold out, this and that. This little kid keeps running up to the stage. She must be like 1 or 2, like maybe 1.5. Little cute, but in that corner of my, I'm trying to tell jokes, and I just see a kid keep running back and forth and running back and forth, right? Huh. And then, so then I'm like, this other distraction, someone starts heckling, and then all of a sudden the little kid throws a toy at me. Like, she threw a toy, not even on the stage, right? And I got to be PG. So then the mom picks her up and she starts crying. I'm like, you know, that's my agent. Well, you know, I'm trying to make it. And she's like, her toy. So now I have to get up and get the toy. And I was like, it's okay. I've had worse things thrown at me. You know, I think having a child, you know, I'm sure you guys know, teaches you patience.
It's supposed to. I never learned it, but I've heard it. I've heard it's supposed to. I did see your video where you almost got kneed in the balls by a lady, and yeah. How quick you reacted to block that or like avoid that was amazing. Like, I mean, that's a guy. I was like, that's a dude that's been hitting the balls a lot, because you immediately dodged without missing a beat. You completely dodged a knee to the balls that would have got most men.
So. And they didn't even kick her out. They let her stay too. They let her stay.
What happened? You gotta explain this one to me.
It was a woman that was like, just, you know, one of these women that kept answering all the questions, like, not even like, I'd be like, you ever call your ex? Yes. You know, like, I'm not really asking a question to the people, but she's just yelling out answers or this or that. And she was like, you could redhead, you could tell, like, probably on her third, fourth marriage, and the guy was on his third, fourth marriage. Like, this, you could tell the way he was reacting to it. Like, I don't want to deal with it, but he was laughing.
You ran into a woman that didn't know when to shut up? That's amazing. I've never heard of that.
Raining. Yeah, that's a once-in-lifetime thing, yeah.
So I called her a cougar, and she's like, and then I go, all right, you get up for my mom or something. And she must have been, like, in her 50s, and she gets up and tries to grab the microphone, right? So I'm not going to give her the mic. So she's like, do I look like his mom? And then I was like, no, grandma, right? So then she got mad. And tried to throw a knee at me, but I don't think she was actually, you know, I don't think she wasn't going to extend it. It wasn't going to be like a teep kick, you know? So I just sort of blocked it. And then I go, that's the closest she's come to a dick in 20 years. So something else has hammered her. And then at the end, of course, you want to take pictures. And she's like, I really hope to show a lot. And I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah. you were bombing until I got up there. Yeah.
Now that it's summer, you might be looking for wholesome, convenient meals for sunny, active days. I know I am. Okay. And Factor, which is America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit. Not number two, number one. It can help you fuel up fast with flavorful and nutritious ready-to-eat meals delivered right to your door. You'll save time, you'll eat well, and you'll stay on track reaching your goals, okay? Are you too busy with summer plans to cook? I am. It takes me forever to cook, and I ruin the meals. But I want to make sure that I'm eating well, and so should you. Well, with Factor, skip the trip to the grocery store and skip the chopping and the prepping and the cleaning, okay? While still getting the flavor and the nutritional quality you need. The Factor is fresh, never frozen. Their meals are ready in just 2 minutes. That's right, 2 minutes. Although when I do stuff in 2 minutes, my wife complains, okay? But not with Factor. All you got to do is heat and enjoy and then get back outside and soak up this warm weather. Vitamin D, all right? Looking for calorie-conscious options this summer? You can try the delicious, dietitian-approved calorie-smart meals with around or less than 550 calories per serving. That's nothing. That's, you burn that off, I don't know, jogging, all right? You need an extra boost to support your wellness goals this summer? I do. We'll try the Protein Plus meals with 30 grams of protein. Hell yeah. Get rough. Look at these guns, people, all right? So check it out. Check out Factor. Head to factormeals.com/roasted50 and use code roasted50 and get 50% off your first box. That's half off your first box. That's code ROASTED50 at factormeals.com/ROASTED50 to get 50% off your first box, all right? Check it out. You're going to thank me later. I got this cute dog. She's teething right now, but she's adorable, all right? No more biting. You got to get some chew toys. So thank you guys so much. Hope you guys are having a wonderful day, and check out Factor right now.
I always wondered, man, how that of I used to watch guys like Jim Rome, who I can't stand, but people would call his show and he would trash them. And I thought, I wonder how many listeners he's lost over the years just talking shit to people like that. You know, like a guy that would have a bad take on something, be like, you're an idiot. And then I always wonder that on comedians, if you worry about losing fans by teasing someone, you know what I mean? Like just over a period of years, you know, like by teasing people in the crowd, because some people are so damn sensitive, man. It's ridiculous. Although yeah. I did see him call, I saw Adam one time call a group of Arab guys Al-Qaeda. He just said, good to see Al-Qaeda's here. He goes, is this your guy's cell meeting? And I was like, holy crap. Like they thought it was funny. At least I think they thought it was funny.
I'm pretty sure they were Mexican. It was like the worst part.
Yeah, like they weren't even Arabs. So.
But then same show, someone's like, so right away, there's a woman pointing to her husband the whole time, like, talk to him, and it's a PG show, so I'm so limited to what, so I'm like, okay, what is it? And then the guy goes, hey, I just want to let you know, I've made lots of mistakes in my life, like, and this is like, so then he gets up to go to the bathroom, and the girl does, I go, what was it? He goes, the woman goes, well, he goes, she's 36 and I'm 31. I'm like, well, this is not the census, but thanks for letting me know. And she's like, he goes, I've been married 3 times. She's on her 5th marriage. And then, you guys meet at divorce court? Like, the fuck?
Right.
So that wasn't even the craziest part. So, all right. So now the other comic I'm with, this guy, black comic, really funny guy, really good guy. He offended somebody like 2 months ago on a ship. And I guess he did like a domestic violence joke. But he said, this is going to be really offensive. Don't stay here. And they warn everybody. Of course, the lady gets mad, complains about him. He gets flown off the island, right? So
they took him completely off the island. That's amazing.
Wow.
He found himself on an episode of Survivor. He didn't even know he was on. You are off the island now.
She didn't feel comfortable with him, right? So they had to fly him off the island, right? But they didn't fire him. Like, he's still working for the next, you know, year. So he's funny, man. He says to me, he goes, like, I have my show in 20 minutes. And he's like, do you know what you're going to say? And I'm like, yeah, you? Yeah. He goes, nah, man. He goes, I can't write jokes. I just say whatever comes to my head. So right away, I'm like, I got to see his show. Like, this is going to be a show. Like, normally, I don't even watch comics, but if this guy's just going to say shit that comes to his head, this has got to be a must. So I go to a show. He does about 15 minutes of transgender jokes, right? And then another 10 minutes about, like, race jokes, right? It was funny, but, like, then he goes and he starts – and a couple people are offended. Anybody that has their arms crossed, he singles out. He goes, you, with your arms crossed. You better not write a fucking letter, you bitch ass.
That's like the jokes off the top of his head aren't that bad.
So. anybody that basically was offended, he bullied into not writing a letter. He's like, if you write a letter, everyone's gonna think you're a punk ass bitch. Like,
if I was him, I'd have pulled. I'll tell you what, if I was black, I would pull the race card every minute of every day. I'd be like, if you write a letter, you're racist. You know, like, I'd be like, I'd be using the hell out of that.
Dude, so then they got
3%, aren't you?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
So then there's this woman, right? Woman by herself, right? With like big boobs, but like she seems very short hair, like have like a blonde, like lesbian haircut. And like, so I think she's offended by the jokes, but not really. She's laughing, but she's coming to every show. So then they have a dirty scavenger hunt on the cruise ship that I go to, right? The one where they have the fake orgasm contests and the twerking contests and one woman whipped
out and the PG comedy show makes sense.
One woman whipped out her vibrator and started using it on herself. She had it in her purse, right? So I go.
At least you can get that. At least you can get that toy thrown at you. That would have been the worst time.
So I go to this show to watch. That woman that has been at every one of my shows, who I think is like kind of being offended, has her tits out, like shows her boobs, has the biggest boobs, and is jumping around in front of the entire cruise with her tits out, right? Like just bouncing around. Like, so then afterwards, I see her. I'm like, here I am, like thinking I'm offending her. She's like, no, I've been married. You know, she's like, I'm like, how big were your boobs? She's like, they're double eyes. Like, I don't even know that was a size. So anyway, that wasn't even the worst.
Carrying around a couple spare tires.
So then they fly me out, right? So then I like do the 12 shows in 6 days. I leave in Honduras because two more comics coming on. They fly me from Honduras to Guatemala. And no, Honduras to Guatemala
to Los Angeles, right? So I leave at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I get it at 8 o'clock the next morning, right? And so I'm like, this, I have a 12-hour layover in Guatemala. So I'm like, hey, man, I call up. I'm like, any way you could fix this travel? The guy's like, well, I can get you in at noon tomorrow. I'm like, that's later. I'm like, we're going the wrong way, right?
He thought you wanted to spend more time in Guatemala.
Yeah, at the airport, yeah.
So the guy's like, okay.
Try out new material.
The guy's like, I can fix it for you, right? He's like, you're gonna have an hour to get through customs in Guatemala. I'm like, an hour? That's no problem. How big could this airport be, right? I get off the flight. They're like, you're not going to make it. There's no way. The guy grabs my luggage. He goes, nope, you're not going to make it. You missed your flight. So then I call. I'm like, hey, can you get me another flight? Yeah, go to American Airlines. They're like, oh, you didn't get here an hour before. So now they're like, you have to wait. I have to wait in Guatemala till 11 o'clock at night. And I'm getting in later. I'm getting in later than I would have, right? 8 o'clock. Yeah. At like 7 o'clock, the flight's delayed 3 hours. They got me going from Guatemala to New York to LA, right? From Honduras. Jeez. And the lights go off. The electricity goes off in the airport. So now all of a sudden, it's a thunderstorm. And people are screaming. Like, I think there's going to be people with Uzis showing up. Like, they're going to rob everybody. Like, it's a fucking Die Hard movie or something. Or a Steven Seagal. So now there's no lights for an hour. And they tell me that, you're going to miss your layover in New York. Just spend the night in Guatemala. They're like, I'm like, well, can I get a hotel? They're like, no. I'm like, no, I have to get. And then I get a hotel in Guatemala. And then the guy's like, well, you know what? To make life easier, will you leave your luggage on the flight tonight? And then don't worry, I'll get it for you tomorrow. I'm like, there's not a fucking chance. Not a chance in hell. I don't speak Spanish. Like, so yeah. So I got in. I left at 1 p.m. I got in yesterday at 1 p.m. This is a 24-hour
delay. Where's your luggage? Where's your luggage at?
My luggage. I got my luggage. I had to wait for them to get it off the flight, go through customs 6 times. It was just fucking brutal.
It was easy to get a hotel in Guatemala since 90% of their citizens are on our southern border right now. So probably wasn't an issue.
Vacancies.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't have to worry about getting robbed down there. No one's left in Guatemala. They're all
Dude, they have anything called chicken buses. Have you heard of chicken buses?
No.
They take school buses and then they paint them over like these loud colors and people travel on them. And that's how
as opposed to yellow.
Yeah. So anyway,
for what purpose and why is it called a chicken bus?
I don't know why it's called a chicken bus,
but they all have their chickens with them, the goats and their chickens, and everything is riding with them.
Oh God, yeah. So that's what I've been dealing with. Yeah. So anyway, how are you doing? What's going on with you?
Don? Which one of us?
Don, how you doing?
Don? I'm good. I'm just sitting here. sitting here listening to your all the stories, and I'm thinking, man, I got a boring life.
No, not at all. By the way, one of your fights came on my TikTok feed, the fight against you and the Brazilian guy who was like a world champion of jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, Mario Batesh.
Yeah, that was a good fight. They kept stopping it, though, right?
What?
Why'd they keep stopping the fight?
They didn't keep stopping it.
Oh, it seemed like they stopped it and then let it go again and stopped it. Like,
they say, all right, they stopped it to check for blood, see if he's alive, you know, because, and all of a sudden, Leon Tabbs speaks Spanish or Portuguese, you know, because Big John says, what's he saying? And Leon says, more. He says he wants more. And they got guys out there wavering, you know, leaning against the cage and about the puke from concussion, you know.
Oh,
and yeah, Leon's doing the interpreting for him.
That was a good fight. They just called it, right? I mean, beat them up.
It went about 5 or 7 minutes too long, yeah.
Oh my God.
Usually when they stop my fights to check on the other guy, it was to vastly improve his position. I was fighting in Poland and I had Pujanowski dry humping me for a round and a half. I finally sweep him. I get on top of a crucifix and they stop to check a cut on him. And I'm like, no. He's been beating my ass from top for like a round and a half. And they're like, well, you guys got into the ropes. I was like, the rope was across my nipples this entire time. He's been punching me through the ropes. They're supposed to restart you in the middle if you guys hit the ropes. Well, if you're supposed to lose, like I was supposed to, because he's a Polish hero and I'm in Poland, they let it go. But as soon as he touches the ropes, if he's on bottom, we have to start standing back up again. And I'm like, oh, so we stand back up because he touched the ropes? Like, is this pro wrestling? Like, what's going on, man? You know, I was thinking though, that I was talking to my brother. It's odd. Have you ever noticed that almost all pro wrestlers were victims of their own momentum? Like, if they got thrown against the ropes, they just kept going back and forth until someone clotheslined them. There was no way for them to themselves. Like, it just, just like a pinball, just going back and forth until you needed some sort of like clothesline or some sort of violence to stop you. It was just, I don't know. It was always odd to me that they couldn't stop that. And I always tell Adam, since I'll tell you, Don, since Adam keeps disappearing, but I always thought it was funny that pro wrestlers made all their major life decisions based on the crowd's reaction. So like Hulk Hogan and Booker T would be like enemies, and then Booker T would help him in a match and he'd want to shake his hand, and Hulk Hogan would stop and turn and look to the crowd like, wait, should I do it? Should I not? And then based on the crowd, like, no, don't trust him, Hulk. And then if more people said, no, shake his hand, he'd be like, okay, I'll make this alliance. And then it was always, they were letting the crowd make their life decisions, which I always found.
Sorry, so my daughter, she's
today. I'm just giving you a hard time.
People who pay $50 to watch something is make-believe,
Sorry. Now, so let's talk about Bryce Mitchell, because he is the funniest human being, I think, alive. So he shows up to his fight with a Bible and starts yelling Braveheart. He wins his fight against Dan Ige. It was a good fight, close fight, actually. You know, and then at the end, he starts talking about Satan, and how Satan caused the fires. Bisping, I don't think I've ever seen him more uncomfortable. So we got this.
I've ever fought. I didn't expect him to be so fast and move so well. And his grappling defense is so good, too. I brought this Bible in here tonight because I do believe Satan is taking over this world. And something specifically I'm talking about is these fires in Hawaii. I'll be donating $5,000 to Dan Ige tonight to give to people in Hawaii, because I know he lost friends, they lost their homes, they lost their children. And I love these people with all my heart. And we have to show Satan that he can do nothing through the power of Christ when we come together. Let me ask you about your eye. Obviously, Dad can shots there, open them above and underneath it. How much did that impair your vision?
Oh, that's a scratch, man. I ain't nothing. I know scrambler.
Hey, also too, these fires in Hawaii, I don't
Michael Bisbee talking about somebody blind.
The natives, and I want Dan Ige, a native Hawaiian, to lead this world in prayer against the power of Satan. Well, congratulations on a great fight. Dan Ige, congratulations.
I didn't even know Bryce knew Don's ex-wife. That's so strange.
Yeah, she gets around.
Yeah.
Bryce, finish him.
So then he does the prayer anyway.
His faith means a lot to him.
His faith means a lot to him. Oh, man. I mean, should they have let him lead the prayer? What do you think?
What's up, people? Listen, today we're here with a sponsor for your bouncing bundle of joy. No, I'm not talking about a baby, although that's adorable. We're talking about your baby makers. Boom. That's right. Today's show is brought to you by Manscaped. But just like babies, your delicate little guys have sensible skin. Trust me. And they deserve products not only skin safe, but also with safe ingredients. That's where Manscaped's Platinum Package comes in. From razors to shower care, this package goes above the gold standard for your body hair. So treat your beautiful boys to the world's finest toys at manscaped.com and use the code MMA Roasted for 20% off plus free shipping. Listen, Manscaped, I used to have the hairiest nuts. It was rough. I mean, girls would go down there, they would choke. Okay. I one time I had to go to the hospital. It was just, nothing worse than, you know, in the middle of a BJ, having a girl having to like go up and go and start ripping out hair. It's not good. It's bad. It happens to the best of us. Okay. Some of you friends might be Armenian or Italian or just hairier people. All right. Maybe not. But the Manscaped Platinum Package 4.0 is a one-stop shop for the man who deserves it all. And that's you. Okay. They designed this package to allow you to fully align your entire hygiene routine with elite products. We're all about elite. Okay. The Lawnmower 4.0
body trimmer and weed whacker nose and ear hair trimmer feature proprietary advanced skin safe technology to protect your delicate parts, and holes. Both are waterproof. You can shave with less mess. Trust me, you don't want nose hairs and ear hairs. It's not good, okay? You want to get laid. You want to have fun. You want to relax. Check it out. Go to the Platinum Package 4.0. They cover all bases from head to toe and hair to ball fro. Get 20% off and free shipping with the promo code MMA Roasted at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code MMA Roasted. Use the Platinum Package because the gold standard is no longer good enough. So check it out and enjoy everything. Sean?
I mean, I think if you win, you should be able to do whatever you want. I know they told us specifically that they would cut us if we mentioned sponsors. I don't know if you can be sponsored by the Bible or not, but I guarantee you they probably wanted a signature on something. I told you when I wanted to have the name of a dead child on my shorts for one of my friends, they wanted a release from the dead child signature. They're like, well, he's going to have to sign something saying you can put his name on there. I'm like, he's dead. Like I said, I don't. So I just forged a dead kid's name on some kind of release. But yeah, the UFC, it was funny, man. They always did weird stuff like that. Like, don't mention any sponsors that aren't UFC sponsors. Yeah. And I'm like, so I can't thank my sponsors? Like, no, not unless they pay in the UFC. And I'm like, cool.
I mean, you could thank Jesus and you could thank, you know, whoever you want to thank. Thank Allah. So why wouldn't you be able to pray, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure it wasn't Bisbing. It was the producer saying, cut away in his ear, like, okay, wrap it up. And maybe it was commercial time or whatever. But I don't know. I mean, you would think that they would probably be, like, I showed my wife. She's like, he seems really sweet. He seems very nice. That's what a nice thing to do.
Yeah, he did say that the whole thing in Hawaii, man, I don't know that much about. I mean, I know Oprah and The Rock are buying up the entire island from what I've heard. I don't know. And really? Asking other people to help them pay for it. But yeah, people keep saying those fires weren't naturally started, that someone started them. And I don't know. I haven't really looked into it. I usually buy into a lot of conspiracy theories because people are evil by nature. But yeah, I think he said that. That probably made him uncomfortable too, because he said in part of that those fires weren't started by.
Oh, right.
He said that he doesn't believe they were started naturally. He thinks someone started it to buy the property up, which would seem about right. I mean, that's pretty much how history has gone with this country. So,
Don, what do you think?
Yeah, well, they got $700. They each got $700, you know, from the government.
It's
insane. While we send billions over to
Ukraine.
Ukraine, yeah.
I am a little curious, not to get political, but does anyone know why we have to support the Ukraine? I keep hearing that we have to do it, and I'm like, but why do we have to do it? Like, I don't like
because Hunter Biden gets checks from them.
That's probably why.
Checks from them.
I know we don't do anything to support, like, anybody that China does anything against. We don't support them. There's all kind of terrible things happening all over the world. We don't support that, but we have to support the Ukraine, and those people have been fighting for 700 years over there, over that property, man. I know really why we have to do it. It's because the military industrial complex has to make their money, but it just cracks me up that there's just that catchphrase. Well, we have to support the Ukraine. Like, well, since when? I don't even know anybody from Ukraine, you know? Like,
you know what we're doing though, is we're sending all of our fucking munitions over there, yeah. And we don't have anything left when yep. China decides to fucking attack us. We're going to just, you throw water balloons at them or something. I don't know. You make Molotov cocktails.
Yeah. You can throw dildos and kids' toys at them. Whatever yeah, Adam can collect at his nose.
I gotta hire that kid again. So yeah. I said that next season on The Ultimate Fighter, it's Bryce Mitchell versus Satan. And one of my fans, or somebody that follows me, made a tail of the tape. yeah, of Satan. Bryce.
Satan is far older than 187 years
old. So thank 187 years old. Like, yeah. So thank you, Raimi Hana, for doing that. He's 7'11", 469 pounds, got a much reach advantage. So
if I was good at making memes, that's all I would do all day. Like, if I was good at doing some of the stuff these guys can do, man, that's what I would just do that all day long.
Some of them are. So, like, for example, the Dylan Danis fight, I guess, is off. So I guess Dylan had a restraining order against him. He was being sued by Logan Paul. I guess he
you mean to tell me Dylan Danis is pulling out of a fight? I find that hard to believe.
But then today he posts this, or in the last couple hours he posts this. So I don't know. It's that scene from
Oh man!
What the fuck are we watching?
I'm not sure what that's originally from, or
what is it? Leonardo DiCaprio, that.
Oh, that, yeah, the movie, the
Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah. So yeah, so he makes this.
We're getting no sound at all, so that's probably not.
Oh, you're not getting any
probably
sound.
Good.
No, yeah, there's no sound.
He says, "I'm not fucking leaving. I'm staying," and everyone's cheering. And then he has the girls in there, and the girl that he's making fun of. So I guess they're making Mike Perry versus Logan Paul.
God, can you imagine being Logan Paul and have to go from boxing Dylan Danis to Mike Perry? Man, I would be like, dude, I'd have picked a way worse backup fighter than that. That's not good.
And I guess Mike Perry's a -300 favorite.
I would think, yeah.
In that fight, Dylan's probably. I mean, Logan's probably bigger, right?
Yeah, he's bigger than him, but I can't. I mean, if he beats dude, there is no justice in this world. If he beats Mike Perry, then that just proves that the devil buys souls at a hefty price. Because the Paul brothers, if you have the Paul brothers beat Nick Diaz or Nate Diaz and Mike Perry in back to back months, I can't. Like, I give up, man. I don't know.
Yeah, no, 100%. I that would be great for Mike Perry, though. I mean, and now people are saying, other people are saying that was an awesome troll move by Dylan Danis, ruining the guy's marriage, exposing the guy's a whore, and then pulling out of the fight, and now he has to fight Mike Perry.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. Is he for sure out? Because I heard he had to pay. I heard he had to pay $100,000 to get out of his contract with Bellator to do the fight. So I can't imagine he just threw away $100,000 to. So, I don't know how he pays his bills. He doesn't fight and he doesn't compete in jiu-jitsu. So I don't, it's really confusing.
Somebody on the underground was really making me laugh about this because they're like, people are going back and forth whether or not it's a bitch move. How's it going to make it work? This and that. But somebody had like a really funny, I mean, Don, does this kind of bother you that people are just trolling wives and then pulling out of fights and this? And I mean, a guy that fought everybody that, you know, wouldn't tap when Ken Shamrock broke both your ankles. Does this bother you? This current crop of quote unquote fighters?
Yeah, I won't be able to sleep for a month. You know, it's really discouraging this new generation how they represent them. You know, people who don't want $50 an hour for to work at McDonald's. Yes.
You know. Oh my God.
They're saying it's still on. Did you hear something recently? Because as of a few hours ago, they're saying the fight's still on. So,
somebody said like ruthlessly mock Logan and destroy his marriage. Grow your social media massively. Dip out of the fight, leaving Logan doomed to be brutalized by Mike Perry.
There's definitely a winner in that scenario, I guess, but it's not Logan Paul.
Like, so mindless optimism, right? So he writes, Logan left several layups, but Danis literally pressed all the right buttons at all the right time. That took timing, guile, and a notable lack of humanity. Not everyone can summon such demonic work.
I don't know how Dylan Danis can get in trouble for posting things that are already on the internet. That doesn't make sense to me. Like, I don't know. Yeah. If he didn't steal her phone and she's got nude photos out there, how can he get in trouble for posting them? It doesn't make sense to me. Like, I don't.
So, and now Eddie Alvarez has called out Mike Perry to a bare knuckle boxing. Isn't Mike Perry much bigger than Eddie Alvarez, or am I on?
I think a little bigger. Yeah. Perry's a average size 170. So he's a little bit bigger than
that'd be a good fight, though. That would be a really good fight. You know, Eddie Alvarez, it wouldn't even be surprising if Eddie Alvarez wins. So now there's a video of can you guys see this? Hold on, of Francis Ngannou being trained by Mike Tyson, right? For Tyson Fury, which is weird. I mean, like, look, obviously, Mike Tyson's a guy who would want to train Mike Tyson? But it would seem like if you're fighting Tyson Fury, you'd want a guy like Lennox Lewis to train you. Like somebody who's, you know, somebody who could prepare for somebody that Tyson's what, 5'7"?
Yeah, but fucking, well, I would use Tyson too, because Tyson was used to, he always fought bigger guys.
Yeah, yeah, that's, you know? That's a good point. I mean, yeah,
you're talking, there's probably only about a 5 or 6 inch difference between Ngannou and Fury, but I mean, still, you know, he's gonna have to hit that overhand right, he's gonna have to hit that long looping uppercut, you know. I mean, not just here, but this guy go way up there, you know. But
yeah, so what do you think about, so he's teaching him how to do, throw a jab to the body. Or right to the body.
It amazes me, man, after all these years, the way Tyson still moves, like how smooth his movements are, and how he's just got it, man. Like he's
just a freak, yeah.
Yeah.
Don, what's your assessment on that instruction?
Oh, shit. It looks like it's going to work, you know? I mean, I'm going to argue with Mike Tyson. I mean, everything he did, you know, everything he knows, you know, it's worked for him. So he's teaching, and Ngannou's a big human being, but Tyson Fury is even bigger human being. So, you know, he's gonna teach him to get in there tight and work the body and come in tight, you know, stay right here. You're gonna have to stay right here, like Tyson always did.
Dude, the more I'm like watching this, the more I'm starting to think that Ngannou's got a chance. Like for some, like I'm buying into all this now. The more I'm following this, I'm like, because it looks like Tyson Fury is not taking this serious at all, and it looks like Ngannou is taking this really serious. How shocked would you be, Sean, if Ngannou pulls it off?
I won't be surprised at all if he hits him and he knocks him out. Like Deontay Wilder is not a very good boxer. Like if you watch him box, but he's got ungodly power, but even he doesn't hit as hard as Ngannou. Like Ngannou knocked out Cain Velasquez with a 6-inch punch, like a 6-inch hammer fist, like knocked it. Like I've never seen anybody punch like Ngannou ever in my life. I've never seen anybody with that kind of power. Like that is boxing gloves or not. I don't care. If he connects, he will knock him out if he lands it. I mean, that dude, I've never seen anything like that power. It's crazy. And you don't have to, he swings so wild, all you got to do is land one. That doesn't mean he won't get pieced up and knocked out before he lands that one. But if he lands one, he'll knock him out. I absolutely believe if he lands one, he will put him on the ground.
So. Don, who are you rooting for?
Oh, fuck. When is the fight?
It's like in 3 weeks.
Yeah, I think
really?
26 or something. Yeah.
You know, I mean, obviously, you know, he's an MMA. You want the MMA fighter to win, you know, to prove that MMA is tougher than boxing. But the experience goes to Fury for sure, definitely. I mean, I don't care how tough, you know, Ngannou, how hard he hits, you know, he's got to get in there, and that's what Tyson's trying to teach him is to, you know, bob and weave and duck underneath that fucking long reach of Fury's and get in there tight, you know, to throw that punch. So, yeah, but, you know, experience, you know, you gotta go with Fury for the experience.
He's got Dewey Cooper training him. Dewey Cooper's a great trainer, but he's mostly a kickboxing trainer or an MMA trainer. Is that smart, you think? But he's
who's training?
Dewey Cooper's training Ngannou.
Why? I mean, I thought Tyson was training.
Well, Tyson, I guess they brought in Tyson, but I guess it's Tyson and Dewey Cooper are like running the camp.
Yeah, I think Dewey Cooper is his standard MMA trainer. He's probably just holding the pads for him, I would guess. But you can only learn so much in a short amount of time, too, man. Like, it was funny when I was going to fight Hunt. People are like, you've been working on your kickboxing? I'm like, why? If we kickbox, he's going to knock me out. There's no reason for me to do any kickboxing. You know what I mean? If I can't take him down, I'm going to lose. You can only learn so much in that amount of time, but yeah, my guess would be that, Fury will just try to smother him and hold him and, you know, keep him, wear him down or whatever. But I'm telling you, those first couple of rounds, man, Ngannou's got a shot if he can land it. If he can't, he's going to get embarrassed probably, but, if he can land the first couple of rounds, man, he can drop him for sure. It's,
yeah, But like you say, I mean, if it goes into the longer rounds, it'll be definitely in Fury's favor. The Fury's gone that long, and Gano hasn't gone that long. I mean, you're talking, what, a 25-minute fight is the most, you know, they have in MMA? I mean, those guys are fighting for 40 minutes in boxing.
Right. I would have liked to have seen them done something to make it a little more in Ngannou's favor, be it even just MMA gloves or something, anything. Allow elbows, like something to make it just a little more in his favor, because it's these boxing
guys. It's in his favor. It's called $10 million.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, probably more than that. I think it said closer to 20. So,
You get fucking that kind of money, I go in there blindfolded. Fuck.
That's how I always was. They offered me Fedor twice, both times for $60,000, and I didn't think that was very much money to fight Fedor. But I thought it would be like in a weird way an honor to fight Fedor, you know. Like, and he had already lost to Bigfoot Silva and Verdum, so I was going to be catching him on his way down, you know. So, and if Matt Mitrione beat him, surely I would have a chance. So that was my thinking on that. But it's crazy, the money in boxing, man. It's just insane. Because that match won't sell as many pay-per-views as the next UFC does, but the guys will make $20 million apiece, and the whole card on the UFC for the next event won't make $2 million. You know? It's crazy. Yeah.
And awful news, John Doomsday Howard's two of his kids, I'm not sure how many kids he has, but two of his kids got shot over the weekend. They were playing on a playground. I think it's like a 7-year-old and like a 9-year-old, and one of them is in critical condition. So
where's this at?
In Massachusetts. So if you're listening to this, there's a GoFundMe for John Doomsday Howard's kids. They were just innocent kids just playing and got shot. I don't even know what I don't even want to think about what I would do in that situation.
Well, there's no penalty for anything anymore. You know, they're not putting anybody in jail for anything. So what the hell do the criminals have to fear? You know, they need to start killing these fuckers. What they need is they're doing.
Yeah.
I've always said, and this will make me sound crazy. I mean, crazier than normal. But if you had, like, if rapists, pedophiles, and murderers, if they were just turned over to the families of the victims to be with whatever the like victims' families want, be it torture for 20 years, crucifixion, whatever they want, I guarantee you crime would drop by 90%. If rapists and pedophiles had to worry about facing someone's father, their brother, their whatever. But you know, like Don said, there's no penalty for anything anymore, man.
When I was in Beijing, I was like, what's it like? Is it dangerous at night? They're like, dude, women have never felt safer and guys have never felt safer out there, because if you even get like accused of something, you're going away forever. Not that I think that's the way that this should be, because I think that might be too extreme, but you walk around 3 o'clock at night, you're not worried about getting robbed. You're not worried about, because it's just a different situation. But maybe
I've got a Saudi Arabian buddy that said, he says the same thing. People don't get molested over there, raped, because they'll cut your head off with a sword in public. So he said it like twice a year out of a country of 100 million people, is there some sort of rape or child molesting? And then they just behead them in public, and it reminds everybody not to do it, I guess. So
absolutely.
Yeah. John Howard's a really nice guy, by the way. I want to make sure you were talking about the same. We were talking about the same guy. That's a shame. He's a really nice guy, man. I got to meet him after we were on the same card one night. He's a really, really good dude, man. That is a damn shame. That is
John Doomsday Howard. Yep. In Bellator news, so Johnny Eblen, he's the guy that I was telling you about. Never lost a round. They don't promote him because Bellator doesn't even. You just don't even. They don't let you know when it's on. But. He beat Leon. He beat Fabian Edwards, who's Leon's brother. And then Leon went into the cage. It's not. I guess they don't call it the octagon, right? They call it the something else, because didn't the UFC buy the rights to the octagon?
They have the trademark for the octagon. You believe that shit?
So
that's like the Dallas Cowboys getting the trademark to a football field, you know.
So here he is in the thing. Leon was coaching his brother.
What a sequence, because as we will see, Big John, it was Edwards that took the fight to the
left. He landed a shot, no doubt about it.
Now it's the brother Leon, unfortunately, as he takes umbrage with the the jubilation, but a huge win for the champion.
Can you guys hear that?
So yeah, but what started it? I couldn't see what started it. I just
Johnny beat his brother.
Oh, well, it's what's he supposed to do? Cry if he wins? Like how dare he celebrate after winning?
Yeah, write a letter, say I'm sorry. Yeah. So,
but that was the most press Bellator got was the UFC guy Leon coming in.
And trying to find. That's a shame. You know how you said the like the eight-sided cage, you know, or whatever the octagon they got that trademarked. We to be sarcastic. One time, this fight promotion here in Indianapolis said it was the world's only six-sided cage because the UFC was so – like, they would sue you if you had an eight-sided cage. So they call it the hexagon. They said the world's only six-sided cage. And they did it sarcastically because they got threatened by the UFC to sue them if they used an octagon, you know?
Oh.
So I started a rumor. There was a fighter. It's a long story, but he's a guy that sucks real bad. He's a chiropractor and a fighter here in Indianapolis, super heavyweight. And he makes everyone call him Doc. Like he gave himself the nickname Doc. Like, I don't know how you give yourself a nickname, but you would call him his name and he would be like, oh, I prefer you call me Doc. And I'd be like, oh, okay. Like, it's just odd. So I started a rumor online that because he made me mad about something. So I said he was starting his own promotion and he was going to have the world's only two-sided cage. And I said, it was going to be called the Doctagon. Like, that's what I said. You know, I started this rumor on Facebook. I said it was the world's only two-sided cage. And somebody said, you realize if it's a two-sided cage, it's got to be shaped like a vagina, right? Like, that's what somebody that was the only way. And then someone else commented, or it may have been me, but it said, yeah, just don't get caught in the taint, man. If you get caught in the taint and the Doctagon, you're in trouble, you know? So
did Doc get mad? Did the Doc get mad about that or no?
Yeah, he got real mad about it. Yeah, then I hurt his feelings real bad because he's an idiot. But yeah, he's a chiropractor. But the first time I ever met him, his name was Joe. And I called to set up an appointment. I said, is this Joe? He goes, it's Dr. Joe. And I said, okay. Like, I thought that was odd, but it was like, and so then I went and saw him. I said, hey, Joe, how you doing? He goes, what's the deal? What's this Joe stuff? And I was like, thought that was your name. And he goes, people call me Doc. And I was like, all right, Doc. Like, I don't know, it's a strange thing, but yeah, we
like Biden's wife, huh?
Yeah, she's Dr. a doctor Jill. As well. I thought she actually was a doctor until I just found out it was honorary. So,
yeah,
I think most chiropractors are just honorary doctors too, aren't they?
Yeah.
A lot of it, a lot of these so-called docs. Meanwhile, there is a promotion that has trigons. You heard about that? It's a trigon.
No, but I'm hoping it's three-sided.
It's a trigon. And it's actually kind of fun to watch because the guys can't move around. It's basically, it's like you're like in a phone booth almost. and then Angela Hill wrote, let trigons be trigons, which I thought, yeah. Which I thought was really, really funny.
Did I tell you about when they tried to, this guy tried to get me to fight on an obstacle course? They had there was some kind of MMA event that had an obstacle course as the cage. So you had to like run up a little thing and it's like American Ninja Warrior, but you had to fight at the same time. And they were paying $2,500. I was like, dude, I would do the slap fighting before I would do.
Yeah.
I'm not going to run an obstacle course and like do the monkey bars and try to kick somebody. Like, I'm not, it seems like a lot of work, man. Like, that's a lot. It's hard enough just to fight in a cage, let alone have to do obstacles while you're doing it. But
Jason,
well, 20 years ago, somebody was coming up with they were going to put alligators, have a moat outside of the cage and put alligators or sharks or something like that.
When I first started working for Ellis Mania, for Jason Ellis' show, like, I don't know, 2014, they had me watch it and like make jokes and stuff for Fuel TV. It's how long ago it was. But he was doing some crazy stuff that was way ahead of his time. He had musical chair fights where he had people play musical chairs. And then the last two people had to fight each other. Whoever, and then he had a guy dressed up in a pizza versus a guy dressed up in a taco and then box each other.
I remember seeing that, yeah, that was awesome.
Then he had these things where he had shock collar fights. That was the craziest part, where people had shock collars on them and blindfolds, and they had buzzes, right, where they had people buzzing them and shocking them while they were fighting. And somebody told me that he had special needs people doing it.
Oh.
But I asked him, he said... I heard it was people with Down syndrome doing it, but then he said, he goes,
if they didn't have it before, they probably had it after. I'll tell you what.
Fighting or doing the shocking?
No, doing the shocking. Down syndrome people were doing
I thought you meant doing the fighting. That's Diego Sanchez fought a guy with Down syndrome and he lost the fight.
Yeah.
And I commented on Twitter. I said, Diego needs to retire. He does not need, he should not be losing to this level of fighter at this point in his career.
That's
and
people hilarious.
Flipped out. I thought it was funny. People freaked out on me, man.
Well, I thought it was kind of mean actually, because I don't know if the Down syndrome guy knew that this was a fixed fight. Like, I think he thought he actually won.
Right.
And now he's going to go challenge regular people and just get fucking killed. Like, can you, like, they set this guy up.
I like how you called him regular people.
Grand slams, no hitters, and double plays are back. That's right. And there's no better place to get on the MLB action than FanDuel, America's number one sports book and official partner of Major League Baseball. And guess what, people? New customers in Massachusetts get in on the action with $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/Boston. And finally, you can bet on all your favorite sports, from the money line to point spreads to player props and more. I love it, okay? If I'm going to bet, I'm going to go on FanDuel. So now, bet on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Don't miss your chance to get $200 of bonus bets. Win or lose, how great is that? Okay, visit FanDuel.com/Boston and make every moment more. That's FanDuel, the official partner of Major League Baseball. You gotta be 21 and older and present in Massachusetts. Okay, your first online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable, and bonus bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Help is here. So is hope. Hope and help. Gambling help line ma.org or call 1-800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234. That's FanDuel. Check it out now. Right now. You want to bet? That's where you go.
I mean, okay. People who don't have that. That's not what I meant.
Besides
what I meant.
You.
That was not the way I meant it, but okay, thanks. I don't have to. All right, so.
Find an actual person next time.
So, this guy, Chokeli, right? Chokeli is fought this guy, Sabah Humasi, who's a good fighter over the weekend in Bellator. This knockout was pretty fucking crazy. I'll show you guys.
Still, boy, these guys are throwing bombs right now at each other. Chokeli wanting to solidify himself.
Golly. Wonder if Steven Seagal taught him that one too.
Yeah, yeah.
That Steven Seagal kick.
I mean, that was just a basically front teep kick, right?
I guess. Golly. That's a, those
yeah,
are pretty
the first thing they teach you in karate class. Yeah. You know.
Hey-ya! but it worked. I mean, and then there's a guy from Cuban who won the bronze medal in Taekwondo. Yeah, he won his second fight in 12 seconds. And then now he won this fight in 3 seconds. It was at Fury FC. It looked a little bit. So, can you guys see?
Not yet.
To see you.
You guys see it, right?
Moderate the big man action. These heavyweights ready to go. Big head.
You can hear it, but can't see it.
You can't see it. You can.
No, we can hear it, but can't see it.
Hold on. Zoom. Let me see. All right. So here we go. Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah, 3 seconds, man. Here, right here. You guys can see now, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's the big man action. These heavyweights ready to go. Big head kick and right hand.
Wow. Head kick to right hand. Robles de Spain throws two punches, both two strikes, rather. Both land.
and a massive KO finish. Moderate the big man action. These heavyweights ready to go. Big head kick and right hand. That's going to do it.
I mean,
in 3 seconds, that guy got two life-altering strikes to the head. That's that's a shame.
I mean, was that not being prepared for that, or the distance? He didn't think the guy could close distance that much, or.
Yeah, I think sometimes you just get kicked in the head, man. I don't know. sometimes it just happens.
Man, I mean, now there's another guy, Ben Davis, right? So he's a guy. He's a reporter, real nice guy. He good looking kid. He works at a comedy club I know in Arizona. Came to my show, and he's getting hired a lot to do commentating. For some reason, he keeps taking these fights. Right? He took a jiu-jitsu fight. I think he's a white belt, and he went against this like high level black belt and lost pretty quickly, right? Jiu-jitsu, okay, he was on Fight Pass. He fought Anderson Silva's son last week, right? Gabriel Silva. He never boxed before. I think he's been boxing for like a month or two, and he got on one of these like influencer leagues or something, and here's how it went. I'm not really sure why everyone's, you know, Ariel Helwani, everyone's like, you got balls. Everyone's saying props to you, but I don't know, man. At a certain point, someone's going to die. And I feel like I don't want to see someone die. So here we go. Here's Anderson Silva's son.
Which one is Anderson's son?
Right here.
I'm just joking. Oh, God.
Just crumbled. A left hand knockout for Gabe Silva.
He's MMA personality, Ben Davis. That's a weird thing to.
Yeah. So I guess he came out like in the Philly shell, like, but I don't know if he. I don't know, man. I guess this is fun for some people to get knocked out, but. If you know you have no shot going in and you haven't trained, I know it's fun making the walk. I know the press conference is fun, but man, be fucking careful. I don't want to see this kid die.
I don't want to see him become a not normal person. Like after too many like shots to the head.
Oh, I mean, Don, what do you think about these guys taking influencer fights with no training?
I think they're dumbasses. They're fucking dumbasses. You know, it's like open mic night, right?
Yeah, but you don't get concussions, CTE with open mic night, and you may get humiliated.
Oh, somebody throws a toy at you, you might go down.
Yeah. All right. So December 16th, they announced Stephen Thompson has taken on Rakhmonov, who's undefeated. He's the guy that just looks like a complete monster. He's just been killing everybody. Really, really good fighter. And then Colby versus Leon is on that card. And they announced Tony Ferguson's taking on Paddy Pimblett. Tony Ferguson's coming off 6 losses in a row. Hasn't won in God knows how long. Paddy Pimblett, they're trying to make it to a star. I don't support this at all. This is just going to... I know people are saying, well, Tony's got a shot. Tony's got the experience. It's still Tony Ferguson, but... Come on.
If it goes to a decision, Tony's not going to win. I can promise you that, because they're going to give Pimblett the win no matter what, man. They're trying hard as hell to make that guy a contender. It's crazy.
I mean, do you like this fight, Don?
Yeah, I don't think it's a smart fight for Tony, no. You know? I hope he trains this time. And I hope he's healthy. Shit. Sure. Yeah. Otherwise, he's not going to be normal.
Eventually, enough shots to the head will be enough. No,
I was going to possibly edit that part out, but now with the 9,
you got to leave it in.
Now I have to look. I'm not saying people with Down syndrome aren't normal. Okay, are any worse or like all people? You know what I mean?
Yeah, look at that. We got
what you're saying. You can't tell if someone has Down syndrome or not. Is that what you're saying? Maybe you're the one that's not normal.
I'm not normal. I'm not. All right. So now they're trying to say, I think Usman might fight Bilal on this card too, or maybe on the earlier card. Kelvin Gastelum is fighting Sean Brady. Brady is a monster. Kelvin's supposed to make 170 for this fight.
Mark Coleman's hip popped out, his fake hip. You guys,
oh, yeah.
Yeah,
he, that's, man, it's, he's been, he was getting ready to do celebrity boxing. I actually talked to him a little bit here and there, but he's gotten in really good shape, man. He's really, like, he's sober now for, I think, 2 or 3 years, and he's, like, really, really working out every day, got in really great shape, and, of course, this hip pops out, man. Like, it just, like, it's, I guess it was bad, too, like, bad, bad. Like,
yeah, he was looking,
like, all the way out.
He was looking great, right? He was
looking, yeah. Incredible. Yeah, he's I don't know if he's on, I'm sure he's on some supplements, but even so, man, he's been doing that the Liver King diet, I guess, which is basically just no carbs is all it really is. He's been looking amazing, man, and got his life turned around. He's been doing great, man. So I hated to see that.
He was also fighting Montel Griffin, though, which would have been, and Montel Griffin's,
I'm like, glad that's not gonna happen. I'm glad
he's not fighting anybody now. Fuck. Yeah.
100%. I'm also really happy that that's not going to happen, because he doesn't need to be fighting Montel Griffin. So did you guys hear? So unfortunately, Pat Miletich got his third DUI. About last when? Week. Last week. I reached out to him. He's struggling. Good. I like Pat Miletich a lot, but I guess the fight is still going on. The fight with Mike Jackson is happening. And do you guys want to see the latest?
After all this buildup, we have to.
Yeah. Yes, Violet. Hold on. So here we go. It's called Caged Aggression. Hold on. Here we go. Share screen. All right. Here we go. Pat Miletich. Can you guys see?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. I got to figure out how to get this.
Live and die in this day. Live and die in this day.
They're fighting on the 13th and the 14th. Is that
long double fight. Header?
That's odd. We don't have sound again.
You don't have sound?
No.
Oh,
right. I didn't notice the fights on October 13th and 14th.
They're saying live and die on this day. Live and die on this day.
Live and die on these 2 days. You did see where it said October 13th and 14th, right? Just me.
Yes.
Show them at 12 midnight.
That's a yeah. You had a fight price start for
11:45.
The fight's still going on. Miletich actually, the day after he got a DUI, or like 3 hours later, went to the press conference. He did not.
Did he drive?
He did not look like he was in great shape for the press conference. I still think he beats Mike Jackson, though. I do.
I can't imagine he wouldn't. Like, okay, Mike Jackson had enough trouble with CM Punk. Like, I can't imagine he's going to beat Miletich, but I don't know. I've never understood, and maybe it's just me, but I've never understood what is so irresistible about driving once someone drinks. Like, I don't, like with Uber and how easy it is, I don't understand what's so, like, if I have a glass of wine, I won't drive. Like, I'm not giving them a chance. I'm not even giving them a second to.
Well, I hate to say it, but Pat's, like, you know, I think he, like, did all kinds of military training. Like, he trained the military, all these cops. He probably got off 100 times of people that know
right.
him. So
I had an uncle that was really proud. He was actually the uncle that my dad always said you were going to be if you didn't straighten up, like you're going to be like your Uncle Terry Lee is what he would always say, you know. But he was actually told me one time that he claimed to be the only person in the United States with a lifetime suspension in every state on a driver's license, because he had 16 DUIs in like 14 different states. And he was like proud of it. He goes, only person in history to have a lifetime ban in every state. And I told him, I wasn't so much interested what you're thinking the 9th or 10th time you're getting in drunk, but like time 14 or 15, are you thinking they aren't going to catch me this time? You know what I mean? Like he was the same uncle that fell out of the moving van going down the highway, out of the sliding van door part while driving the van, because he told the police he had to get some air. So he's driving down the highway, decides to get some air, so just leaves it on cruise control, gets in the back of the van and opens the side door, and then falls out at 60 miles an hour on the highway and lived through it. And that was only his fifth or sixth DUI. So he did it again another 10 times after that.
Oh, wait, how'd they get him for driving it when he wasn't even the vehicle?
I think they had no proof, just a crashed van.
Somebody
told him after taking that accident, that fall, they told him he was lucky he was even still a normal person.
Wow. Oh, God. Again,
you do open mic night now.
I got that again. So what do you got coming up, Don?
Oh, I'm testing out my new theory. I get these hummingbird feeders, and what they're doing, you have them, right? The wasps, the fucking wasps come in and they chase the hummingbirds out and they drink all the sugar water. Yeah. So I go out there in just my shorts, my underwear, and with the fly swatter, and I swat them and I see how many I can get before I the stings get too much for me to handle. So far, I'm up to 25 stings, you know.
I was thinking about more like promoting your podcast or like a show you might be coming up or something.
I don't know if that all is true. That sounds about right, but there really are hornets everywhere out. I got some of those Chinese murder hornets at my house now, man. Like, it's crazy.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And things are mean, man. Like, they are giant, too. And things are like 4 inches long. It's crazy. When I'm not killing groundhogs, I shot a groundhog yesterday. I had to shoot it, man. I was using bird shot, unfortunately, not deer slugs. So I had to shoot it like 10 times. It was ridiculous. Like, it wouldn't die. It just kept holding on. So
What did the groundhog do to you?
It's the fifth one I've killed in the past like 3 weeks because they chewed through my internet line, and it made me really mad. So I hold it like a grudge against all groundhogs now, like for doing that, because they chewed through my internet line, and my fiance had to miss an entire day of work, and she's got a really good job that you can't be missing work because a groundhog chewed through your internet line. So yeah, I've been shooting them and killing hornets and doing whatever else. I've got a hilarious.
Why didn't she take an Uber over to another Wi-Fi spot? You know?
She was drunk, so she drove over. I was trying to come up with a Miletich joke, but I got nothing. I got an awesome story to tell you guys offline that will crack you up, but I can't say it on camera because it could get me in trouble. But I do have a really funny one to tell you at some point. So.
Nice. And then what do you got coming up, Sean?
Just same old stuff. I supposedly go next Wednesday, man. They're going to do the medial branch block on my facet joints to make sure that that's what's hurting me in my back. And if it works, supposedly they're going to schedule my procedure and they're going to do it. So we'll see. I haven't got my hopes up because I got like a $600 bill the other day from that doctor. And I was like, I thought it was covered under my insurance. Oh yeah, we must have coded it wrong. I was like, okay, well, I'm not paying it no matter what. So you know what I mean? Like, what doctors like to do is tell you it's covered under insurance, and then they say, oh, your insurance denied it. Give us $800. And I'm like, I'm not doing it. Like, I tell every doctor I go to, if I get a bill, I'm not paying it, just so you know ahead of time. So if it's not covered by the insurance, it's your problem. But that's what I do every day. I open up thousands of dollars of medical bills and argue with people over whether or not I'm paying. So it's
I got the PBR this weekend up in Glendale, Arizona.
Oh, nice.
I go up there. Debbie Diamond, she works for the PBR. And, you know, you got PBR, WWE, and UFC are all underneath William Morris Endeavor, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like a cross-promotional. So you get to go up there and watch the bull riding.
Oh, that's awesome. Wow. I will be on the Greg Gutfeld show this Monday. Monday, I will be on Gutfeld on Fox News.
I told my mom loves Gutfeld, so I told her you're going to be on it. So you're going to have to come with some clean, good. My mom's a very holy Christian woman, so she's going to expect some clean,
normal person.
Yeah, right. Your mom's always fighting with people on like Twitter.
My mom is the sweetest, most Christian woman ever. But if anybody says anything about me, she will attack them viciously. And it doesn't matter what I said; she will defend it to the end.
And you guys look so much alike. I thought it was you, like fucking with people.
Are you saying I look like a 70-year-old woman?
Your mom's pretty. Your mom looks. She looks like she's like 40. Your mom looks young.
We got good genetics, man. That's
So, yeah, Greg Gutfeld, Monday. Tune in. Thank you guys so much, and have a great weekend. You guys are the best.
All right. See you, man.
Take care.
Ciao.